So we'll,
yeah, sure, why not?
Oh, we want me to remind you. You want me to remind you about the Rambam.
Oh, the Rambam sheet. Yeah, so what are you reminding me about? The Rambam, you remind me that the Rambam happens to hold. That the Rambam happens to hold, I just say it very quickly, Maven Yavin Mishalo, Yavin Yavin Batid. The Rambam holds explicitly the says that we're memeshking, we are memeshking on payments that are kofir also, right? So we wanted to try to tie that in. Yesterday we were describing the idea, we were saying so very quickly from Baruch Be'er, how according to the Rambam, a chiyuv of kofir is a formal function of bezin, requires two edim and a bezin of smuchim and mumchim, and that's why you'd be able to get malchus if the person had, testified that the case yesterday, testified someone was short killed, etc., and they don't pay kofir. The Rambam holds you get malchus because it's a real official edim that happens to fit in very well with the idea that you're mamashking according to the Rambam because they're nechrami. It's a real payment that's there. Okay, shkach. Now, bite over today. The sugya of Ein Nimkarim be'Eved Ivri, very short but sweet sugya over here, and obviously, like we said before, we're going to keep this to one day. I bring out really one yisod, and then I might let you add a little bit on the early side, not only to be first online to go wash and enjoy the siyum. The you have the siyum, yeah. Now the yeah. Okay, welcome back. The deal is like this. The Gemara has the rule over here. A lot of things we're going to do outside just to really get to the main point over here. The Gemara has the cloud that ain't nimkarim de Eved Ivri, right? An Eid Zomim is not going to be sold as an Eved Ivri. You're familiar again with the Gemara, the discussion between Rav Hamnuna and Rava, what the parameters of that idea of ain't nimkarim de Eved Ivri are. According to Rav Hamnuna, it's a very practical issue. They're not sold as an Eved Ivri in circumstances when that's not really the crux of their Eidus. You're supposed to do to them what they want to do to him. And if we can construct a scenario wherein the Eidim Zomim weren't really scheming to have him being sold as an Eved, he has money, they have money, as the Gemara goes back and forth with Rav Hamnuna. So, you're not going to sell that. But in a case, as Rav Hamnuna points out, where all the cards are leading in the direction that they should be sold, the Nidon doesn't have any money, they don't have any money, so it's clear in that testimony that we're heading for an Eved Ivri situation. So Enochanami says they're going to be sold. In other words, we're not dealing with any fundamental halacha that they cannot be sold as an Eved Ivri. It's purely a practical concern. Rava points out, of course, in the Maskan of the Gemara over here, that no, we have a pasuk, v'nimka v'ginei vaso, v'lo v'zmamo, Edom Zomim are never sold as an Eved Ivri. We have a diak in the pasuk that the concept of getting sold as an Eved Ivri is something that is not applicable to an Eid Zomim. That is not a road we're going to go down. Yeah.
Question on the Gemara pasuk. The Gemara said that in a case where the guy has money, where the Nidon has money, and the Edom Zomim don't, you wouldn't say that they should be sold because there is the intention of what was clearly the intention with money and actually sold because they knew he had money. So in a case where Nidon is broke and they have money, the intention is clearly the opposite, that they know he doesn't have money, and therefore why is there often all that?
Okay, that's a fair question. So the Pashup shot in that, again, which obviously like one of that question spoken out by the Gemara over here, but that the pashup shot in that is what we're saying is that we're looking at the Edom Zomimim as if they themselves are victims of their Eidus. In other words, as if the Eidus was being directed at them, right? In other words, as if you're having an out-of-body experience and there's somebody else out there testifying on them themselves.
Okay.
In that circumstance...
So not for them.
Yeah, send them the same answer.
Other times, but then in a case where they're broke, they should be told then.
But then the Gemara says they have a taina, but we were never intending to do that to you.
But that's not the point then.
So the way the Gemara, again, keeping with the Gemara itself points out over here, both of those tainas are present when it comes to Azama. That's exactly what Rav Hamnuna is bringing out over here. And it's an important back and forth in the Gemara. Okay, now as you know already over here, that you have a little discussion between the Rambam and the Rashi, what exactly the scenario is that we're speaking about in this idea of Ein Nimkarim be'Eved Ivri. Rashi gives you the more pasha case in the Gemara. And as all of the Achronim point out, Rashi's case is clearly the example that's being discussed in the beginning part of the sugya, the whole discussion back and forth with the Rav Hamnuna, where the Edom are just testifying about a Geneva, right? Where the ultimate result might be that the Nidon be sold as an Eved, or it might not, and he might end up just paying back, in which case we have to be done, as Rav Hamnuna goes back and forth, whether or not the Edom Zomim qualify for getting sold as an Eved or not. The Rambam has a different pshat over here. Not necessarily a pshat. The Rambam happens to quote the case slightly differently than Rashi in Perakaf of Hilchos Eidus. So the Rambam links down the line that Heidu Olav Shenimka Be'Eved Ivri V'Huzmu. If you have a scenario where the Eidim testified, we know that this person was sold as an Eved Ivri. Why is he roaming the streets free right now, doing his merry old thing? This guy, we know, is supposed to be an Eved Ivri. Bezin comes in, the Bezin police come and snatch him up, bring him back to the alleged master's house, and now he's stuck as an Eved Ivri again. If they become Eidim Zomim, the way the Rambam phrased it, so then the Chiddush of the Rambam was what, Jenna, take it away, easy stuff first. Chiddush of the Rambam is, yeah, of course they're not going to get sold, but even more than that, the Rambam says they're going to get Malkus. Shka, very good, okay? They're going to get Malkus, right? Why? Rambam is assuming, right, a simple assumption here, any single scenario where you're not able to be mekayim, the kasher zomim, for example here, where the Torah says, beginei boso, velobiz momo, the result is always going to be a malchus. That's the shita of the Rambam. And as you saw in the Minchas Chinuch, he points out, again, these are all just preliminaries, so we're going to get this out mamish quick, the Rambam, the Minchas Chinuch points out over here, on the Tzumem days, in Parashas, or whatever that's called, Mishpatim, the Rambam points out that, the Minchas Chinuch points out that although in the Rav Hamnuna's part of the Gemara, the case that's being discussed is clearly the way Rashi learns, but Rambam is understanding that once Rava tells me the rule, begin a vaso, below his mamo, that there's no, fundamentally, there's no such thing as being sold as an Eved Ivri, as a Hazama punishment, the Rambam points out there's also another case that's included in this halach as well, which is in fact the biggest chiddush. Even if the mamish testifying that the guy was sold as an Eved Ivri, nevertheless, that's not going to apply to them because of the pasuk of the Genei Vaso, the lo dizmamo. So instead of having there really being a machlokes per se about the case, no real need, as the Rambam is pointing out, an additional chiddush once the maskan of the Gemara is there. And as the Minchas Chinuch points out, Rashi, of course, who's a mefarish, Rashi is explaining the play by play, line by line, shaka vataria of the Gemara. Rashi is not going to introduce cases that are not actually in the Gemara themselves. Rashi does a commenting on the lines of the Gemara, and this is the case that's presented in the Gemara. The Rambam's example is true once you have the maskan of the Gemara. And the Rambam being a posek halachos, writing a halacha sefer, includes something that's not exactly found there in the Gemara. That's those are the ABCs of the sugya, and now we're going to start with actually some of the lumbus and the important parts out of it. Yeah?
Is Rashi that he gets
malchus,
or he doesn't
get malchus? A good question. The Gemara doesn't say
when
he gets malchus, so we wouldn't know. Let's phrase it like that. We would not know. Okay, and we'll see as we're going along what makes more sense. Yeah? We have to see, that's getting into some of the next discussion. Let's figure out a little bit more. Yeah? What was that? Sure. So that's also found in the Gemara. If a Muna says that, you're still not going to get sold. Because they have the time. So that's what we were just discussing before. So now we're going to have to figure out what's going to happen. Are you just off scot-free? You owe money for later on. You're going to get Malkus. That's not explicitly dealt with in the Gemara. But those are the three possibilities that would be there. The pshat is that you're going to owe the money. Okay, you testified that he stole something and you're trying to make him lose money, so you owe. You can't pay right now. Okay, so you have a debt standing on your head. You'll have to pay it someday. And that would be the most pshat thing. Now, We're going to quickly plow through over here a very, very important machlokas in the Akronim that revolves around the Shita of the Rambam. And the truth of the matter is, it's a very enjoyable piece as well. Just quick show of hands, how many people finished the entire list of Maamar Kama? Most of it. Okay. So let's, what was that? Yeah? We're good to go. Okay. Now, that being the case, take it away. Gvura Tori comes along and asks a question. All yours then. Let's do a show of hands. How many guys actually finished to the end of the list of Maamar Kama? What was that? All the hands go down again. Three, try it. What the Gemara three is Kasha.
I was wondering to make that extension. The Gemara is obviously talking about a case of when they say that the guy stole, not that they said he's not a Shneva Nivri. How was Rami able to extend it that in that case he would get Malchus as well?
Okay, that's one question that he asked. That was also asked by the Minchas Chinuch. What's the question? The one question is only asked by the Gemara three.
They should be Chayav. They should be Chayav Malchus. They should be Chayav Malchus. He's trying to be Machayev that moment because he would have to pay Mohon to get out of the Avdos by paying back his master. Therefore,
Beautiful. Well said. Gvura Tzuri comes along again. Gvura Tzuri, authored by the Shagas Arye, comes along and asks a cash over here on the Rambam. I don't understand your halacha, this idea that you're getting Malkus when he testified that the guy was sold as an Eved Ivri. That seems to be the absolute wrong psak and the wrong understanding of the dynamic of what's taking place. Okay? As the Gvura Tzuri asks, he doesn't say it in so many words, but let's elaborate over here. The whole idea of an Eved Ivri is basically a financial relationship. I owe you money. When I was accused of being a ganav, what that essentially means is I owe you money. Okay, I'm going to owe you, just using my simple example because I'm very mathematically challenged over here. If Adam is testifying that I owe $600 and I don't have $600 to pay back, I am sold into slavery for 6 years to pay back that $600. But essentially what's happening is all the work that I'm doing, bringing you the paper and whatever it is, and making you coffee, those are acts that I'm doing in order to pay back the money that I owe you. And therefore, again, using simple mathematics, when I finish my first years of work as an Eved for you, what I've essentially done is pay back $100 out of the $600 that I owe, and for the next 5 years, from now on, how much money do I owe? But you're a whopping sum of $500. It's like a very, very simple cheshvan how things go. So ask the Gvura Tzuri in a very quick and cryptic line over here. Ask the Gvura Tzuri, when I testify, Hanan, we know that he was sold as an Eved Ivri. Why is he walking around doing whatever he wants? He was sold as a slave to whoever it's going to be. Okay, so we throw him into Avdus and he's there working. And when we get caught as Eidim Zomimim, right, what essentially happened was when we testified he was an Eved who had already worked for 6 months, what we're saying is, okay, it's true he paid back $50 out of the $600, but he still owes $550. That's the real testimony they were making. He stole $600 that he owes $550 of. He owes $550. So ask the Gvura Tzuri, when we get caught as Adam Zomanim, it's true we're not going to get sold as an Eved Ivri. V'nimka b'gnei vasa v'lo b'zmama. What we should end up doing is not getting Malkus. What we should end up doing is have to pay back the rest of the money that we were testifying that he had owed. Yeah. Okay. Or we'd have to figure it out. In other words, we're testifying that he owes money. How much money? That's our job to determine afterwards. You're right. So someone's going to have to figure that out. Okay, so in that case, they'll testify. You're right. If that would be the, what do you call it? You're right. In other words, yeah, in Akhanami. But the idea, though, in other words, the concept that he's asking is very, very straightforward, right? All we're really doing is say the guy owes money, period, right? How's he paying it back? He's paying it back by doing that. It's like saying someone owes money, so he decides to be a waiter to make money, right? The waitering is really just a way to be bringing in cash. The serving the master as an Eved is just a way to bring in cash. Instead of paying him for his housekeeping duties or being a butler, he's paying me back for the money that he owes me. Very, very simple, straightforward kasha. Along comes Reb Chaim over here with a very, very important, chiddush to try to be masbir away the question of the Gvura Tzuri on the Rambam. And we walk away with the very simple conceptual machlokas, how to understand what an Eved Ivri relationship is all about. A beautiful piece in the Reb Chaim. This is what we're going to read through pretty quickly over here. Hanira Lomar Bazeh. What it appears to be is as follows. The truth of the matter is, says Reb Chaim, an Eved Ivri is not just a relationship where I have what he calls a kinyan on your Maise Yadayim. What does that phrase mean? Just explain the technical terms. What does it mean, Nachum?
Anything produces.
In other words, a kinyan for his Maise Yadayim means, plain and simply, that all the entire relationship between me and him is that whatever money he makes becomes mine. Right? I don't own him. He's not my slave. He's not anything more than any money that he is owed. Any money that he makes becomes mine. That's the entire thing. Basically, right? That's a fancy way of phrasing anyone who's an employee of anyone else. Right? Means that I'm a shuva to work for you, and that's all it is. Who is going to get the salary when I pay that particular eved? I keep the money for myself. That's all it is. I own your maise yadayim. Yeah. We're going to get to shifra kananit issues in one minute, or one or three minutes. Let's see. Eladuhu din medine eved ivri. But there's something more than that. There's a halachic concept, a status, because that's the term we're always going to be using in many, many different circumstances, a shame of an Eved Ivri. What does that mean? Hainu shechid sha Torah. The Torah has a very interesting chiddush. She yithrol yachol limko et atzma le'eved. There's a concept that a regular Jew off the street has the right and ability to become something called a slave. Not just an Eved Kanani, where the Torah specifically speaks about the idea of us capturing them and taking non-Jewish slaves, etc. And again, we know, just to make sure that the comparison is clear, an Eved Kanani is certainly not just somebody who works for me. How do I know that? What's unique about an Eved Kanani?
Yes.
And he becomes chayiv and mitzvah. He has to go to a mikvah to become an Eved Kanani. He's chayiv in the same mitzvah that a woman is chayivus, and an Eved Kanani is clearly a personal status that there's not just a worker. I'd say he's become a different person. Says Rav Chaim, the Torah is chiddush, that a Jew has the ability to become an Eved. Now again, it's not an Eved Kanani. He's not jumping out of the faith. He's not becoming not Jewish. He's a Jew with a slightly different personal status. V'chal olav hashein Eved v'nasa, in a beautiful Rav Chaim term, a chefza shel Eved. That person becomes a thing called an Eved. It's a different creature, a different thing. V'chefza shel Eved yesh bo din kinyan ma'isa yadu v'din heter shifcha. And this chefza, this entity called an Eved, a person with that status has two separate areas that govern him. Number one, his ma'isa yadayim are owed it to somebody else, to the master. I'm paying back the $600 that I owe. But number two, that shame, that status of an eved, also is matir me, allows me to marry a non-Jew, a shifcha kananit. The regular Jew wouldn't be allowed to. Yes, she's half Jewish because she became a shifcha, but she ain't all Jewish. I can't marry her. An eved is allowed. Why is an eved allowed to marry her? Because an eved is a different personal status. Vizui kavana hakavana shel eved ivri gufo kanui. That's the concept behind a phrase in the Gemara. The truth is, the Rishonim debate what exactly the meaning of this phrase is. Gufo kanui. I own his body. What does that mean when the Gemara uses that expression? I own his body. Shenase lachefta shel eved ivri. Yes, he has a different personal status. Or mizem estaf and kol dini eved ivri. That's what all of the halachas in the eved ivri derive from. Kamo, for example. Chala she'eno chayiv mahashem. There's a halacha, and he goes in the first parak in Kiddushin. The Eved Ivri gets sick, and he wasn't able to work for a week or two, right? Whatever the illness was. Are we going to say, so if every year of the 6 years is basically $100 per year, and you spent a week that you weren't actually working, I'm not going to do the prorating or the math, but in theory that means it's a certain amount of money out of that $600 that you didn't really pay me back. You weren't working. You were sitting in bed. You owe me the money. It's a shibud. You owe me that. Halacha comes along and says, no. Chala, if he gets sick, eino tzarech lahashlim, does not have to make that up. Now that doesn't really make sense. If I owe you money, if I owe you $100 because I borrowed money, we can't come along and say, okay, I paid you back $95, the other $5, who cares about? If you want to be mocha, that's one thing. But if you want the $5, I got to pay back, doesn't matter how. I got to get that money somehow or another. The Eved doesn't have to make up the lost time. Why? Because once he becomes an Eved, what changes now? And therefore what? We're no longer going to look at this as merely, let's go.
Monetary,
I'm just trying to pay back a debt day by day, after work by work, etc. But rather, once I become the Eved Ivri, so I'm governed by the unique halachos about that unique status. And one of the dinim happens to be, I worked for the 6 years, but it's not mamish looked at as a thing for thing and how much time and how much work did I put in. I'm an Eved for 6 years, boom, at the end of that 6 years, it's done. Poof, I don't owe you any money anymore. But we're not going to look carefully, right, at every hour's work, every day, and mamish make a chesed minute by minute how much I owe. We might have thought, according to the Rama, I'm assuming you understood there are two sentences we glossed over, that if we're testifying that he was sold as an Eved Ivri, good, so make me an Eved Ivri. It's the most simple example of classic exama. And Hiksha Gvura Sari. I don't understand. The Shlomo the Shitas Kol Rishonim who Kivan Sheedim Zamo Sheyachol of Din Limacher the Eved Ivri. According to everyone else, where the whole point was, the Shaila is, should we sell you? Havamina Shegam Aleim Yachol of Din Limacher. Well, Matina, then we come and exclude. No, we're not going to sell the Eidim Zamo. But the Shitas Rambam Sheidu Shenimkar Kfar. But according to the Rambam, where it's clear that they're testifying that he was sold already. And the way the Gvura theory analyzes, what we were coming to do was basically indebt his work to that person. We're coming and testifying again, as we explained before, you owe him from now on $550 more dollars of work. So it's pashut that what the Adam should be doing is removing the debt by having to pay. Says the Gvura theory, I don't understand the Rambam. Oh, Dr. Abchaim. Well, the Fimashikasavnu Asi Shapir. Now everything makes sense, though, in my understanding of the concept of an Eved Ivri. Shirotsu Lashvoso Chefsa Shal Eved Ivri. The Eidim wanted to make this person into a Chefsa, a someone with a status. I'm changing the words a little bit. With the status, the personal status of an Eved Ivri. Shiyachul Allah Hashem Eved. We wanted to give him the title of an Eved. You might have thought, why not? So give the Eidim that status also. Says Reb Chaim, I disagree with the Gvura Sari. That's not true what you're saying. According to the Gvura Sari, one more time, the whole nature of the relationship of an Eved Ivri is what? Take it away, you said it before. Purely a monetary relationship. Defined as what? What's the concept? Right. My work is being done to pay back money that I owe, but I owe money, and again, day by day, I'm viewed as paying that off through my work. Reb Chaim is coming along and arguing, absolutely not true. What's an Eved Ivri? A status, and how does that change the cards over here?
So we're not looking at it
as if you're paying off a debt anymore. Although, again, let's just remind ourselves, okay, so we shouldn't get too carried away with that idea. There are certain trappings where we are going to look at if you're paying off a debt. When the Eved Ivri wants to buy himself back, right, how do we figure out how much money he has to buy himself back with? He prorates how much money is left over after he works. But Reb Chaim is going to argue that although that is true, that's the system that the Torah uses to figure out how much money he has to pay, but all that's doing, though, is basically setting a price on how much money he has to buy himself with. In other words, I'm not paying off a debt by paying that money, but it's an imposed price, an arbitrary, a random price for myself to change my status back to a regular ben chorin and lose the status of an Eved. But the Eved, according to the Chaim, is a new, unique personal status. On your passport, whatever it is, you have a title. What's your nationality? What's your race, religion, whatever it's called? You're an Eved Kenani. You're not a regular Jew. You're an Eved Kenani. Now, if that's the case when it comes to Eidim Zomimim, we understand why not only aren't you going to be able to sell them, but as Reb Chaim is pointing out, they can't even pay any money. The only thing that can possibly happen to them if they're caught as Eidim Zomimim is what? It's the Pesach of the Rambam is what? Malchus, because that's totally identical to the case of the Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. You're trying to give someone a status as a Chalo. We're not going to change your personal status anymore. What are we going to do to you? You're going to get Malkus, right? The din of Zikwas Asadik via Shiyu Esha Rasha. Now the only problem, it's a very beautiful Rav Chaim, Eisel, Rav Pshat, etc. The problem, of course, is that the problem is really with the Gvura Sari. In other words, you want to learn, okay, very nice. You have a point, your outlook is, again, with the cash on the Rambam, your outlook is that a Eved Ivri is basically a financial arrangement. Fine and dandy. The only problem with that is, right now, okay, and you don't understand the Rambam, because that's fine, in other words, good, you have a cash on the Rambam, you think the Rambam is wrong. However, there is a clear halacha, which seems to be a tremendous kasha on the mahalach, on the approach and understanding of the Gvura Sari. Which halacha is that? Shifcha Kenanis, right? Reb Chaim's l'chora greatest proof that he had over here is that an Eved Ivri is mutter to marry someone who's not really Jewish. A Shifcha Kenanis, right? It was a hybrid Jewish status. Now that really only makes sense if you're going to claim that Eved Ivri has a different personal status. He's not Joe Jew, he is Eved Kenani. I understand. Eved Kenani, Shifcha Kenanis, beautiful shidduch, that's fine. If, on the other hand, the Eved Ivri is a Jew who happens to just be employed by somebody for a period of time, or, and a long period of time, how in the world is he going to be allowed to marry a Shifcha Kenanis? Yeah?
It's part of the rules of the job for today. In order for him to get paid back, he has to assume a certain job, and that's one of the things that comes along with the job.
Which is what?
That he's able to marry a Shifcha Kenanis.
What kind of a job is that?
It's not just that he's working.
I'm not sure if you're saying something that I'm understanding or like a, right. In other words, again, you're coming and telling me the starting point with the Gvura Sari is that the relationship is I have to work to pay off a debt. Right? That means getting the paper, making the coffee, painting your wall, whatever it is, all that stuff is paying off the debt. How is the fact that I'm allowed to marry a Shifcha Kenanis, which other Jews are not allowed to do, a way to pay off a debt to you? Okay, and where'd you get that idea from? That's the Toz of Ben Yevamos. The Toz of Yevamos is a very, very important chiddush over there. Daf Ayinam Beis in Yevamos. Again, and it's a chiddush in the Toz. The Toz wants to learn based on the pasuk that the Torah is trying to console a person who's about to lose his eved. Oh my gosh, I'm losing my guy. The Torah comes and says, "Ki mishnas char sachir avadcha." He worked double the amount of time that a sachir, double the amount of time that a regular hired employee would have worked. In other words, he's oved bein bayom uvein balayim. He wasn't only working for you during the day, during regular working hours. This eved worked at night as well. And the Tosfos explains that concept that's there. I'm reading from the second line in the Tosfos. The whole reason why an Eved is mutter to marry a Shifcha Kenanis, he has to work that night time. And the work, as grotesque and animalistic as it might seem to be that he's doing at night time, is trying to produce more little Eved Ivries floating around over there. Have some other people in the fold. And when you have those other Eved Ivries out of there, right, so great, so there's going to be a Vadim that are there to serve the master. And that's the Avdus that's there at night. Mishnah Tzchar Sachir. He was working double the amount that a regular Sachir, a regular employee, or laborer is going to have to work. But even that, according to Tosis, then is viewed not as a heter that I have to marry the Shifcha Kenanis, but rather it's an imposition that the Torah is telling me, yes, obviously there's an element of heter that's there also, but the theme, the idea behind that is we're forcing you to reproduce more offspring, and it's a function of the avdus, a function of the work, and not just a heter. I'm allowed to marry the shifta kananis. In other words, you don't have to change his personal status. All you have to do is come and say he has such an incredibly strict standard of how much he has to work that the Torah says ena chanami. We expect that the master is able to peer you off to sire some more little avadim. And it's right. Does that sound like a tough job, whatever it is, a little bit gross? Yeah, sorry, that's the way it is. Yeah. Go around and out this order, yeah.
But isn't really working just to pay back?
Right.
So how's that?
Because I have to produce the things at night for him also, and I'm going to give him some more of them. He has the right to demand. I want some kids.
Does that subtract from the debt they owe?
Huh?
Does that subtract from the debt they owe?
Well, again, in other words, the as we pointed out, I think we pointed out before, we don't actually ever calculate, well, on Tuesday, you not only painted the walls, washed the floor, dusted the shelves, and brought me the paper, right? But you, I don't know, whatever, you cleaned my car. Wednesday, you didn't clean the car. So for Wednesday, we're only going to detract $24, and on Tuesday, we detract $25. Because we don't actually, mamish, count every little thing that's there. We look at a time, right, as being time. Now, included in that time's work is mishnas karsafi. You have to work at night also. What's that called? That's called having a shifta kananis. Who has that? You or you? Huh? See now? Yeah, Shka. Yeah, see.
It might be a little kind of fresh, but it's impossible to say that, and it's the nafkamina between the two is a futur dechuyu. That according to Tosfos, it's it would be someone they wouldn't be able to have bia during the day.
I can't imagine that's true.
But if you're going to say that it's something specifically by night.
Okay, the idea is that that's a classic nighttime recreational activity. That's all. That's
much
during
the day.
Yeah. In other words, if when you use those words, hutra and duchu, you mean to say, according to the Rav Chaim was looking at this, which he's claiming is the Rambam sheet, is that this is just a right. You're a different person. So you're right. We're mastering you to marry the shifta kananis without any reservation. Whereas according to the way Tosfos says it. It's not a heter, it's an imposition. It's a little bit more, again, reserved when we're giving that. So that might be true, as an emotional level, but that's not the classic halachic concept of
Kudra
Dechuya.
The mic is having that
case. Yeah. Okay, now one last point over here, because I promised we're going to be early, though. I don't want to go back on my promise, but we're dragging on a little bit over here. You should just be aware. I didn't actually give you my comments to look at this, but I just want to talk out quickly one other area about an Eved Kenani. Because what we're basically, again, the discussion over here is the Eved Kenani, just a, I'm going to use that new word, just a shibud mamon that you have, if there's a monetary debt, or is there a form of an expression that's used by Rishon called a kinyan Isser. I've created an Isser on the Eved Kenani, on the Eved Ivri, meaning I've just created a status for that Eved Ivri. The truth of the matter is there are other places in Shas where this comes up quite a bit. I first want to have to look through the Gemaras rather carefully. For example, the Gemaras in Kiddushin Daf Tezayin, the Sugyas of Avadim, where the Gemara discussed the need to discussion about it. Is there and what is the need to, when you free an Eved Ivri, to give him a shtar shichur, a get, basically, to divorce him from your service. Now, the truth of the matter is that concept, having to give him a shtar shichur, would make a lot more sense if you're viewing the Eved Ivri as a form of a status as opposed to just a work relationship. When you want to fire my cleaning lady, I don't have to give her a shtar shichur that she goes free. I just tell her, sorry, don't come back next week, and she ain't working for me anymore. So if the Eved is just a way to pay back a debt, right, the whole concept of a shtar shichur would be a little bit tricky. On the other hand, the Gemara in the fourth parak in Gittin, a whole series of daf mem gimel mem dalel that comes up mem hey, also where the Gemara discussed a concept called mafkir avdo. If you had an eved, even an eved ivri, that you were mafkir, I don't want him anymore. You're mafkir the eved ivri. So the Gemara has a discussion what the status at that stage in the game actually is. What happens to that person? Okay, he doesn't have to work, but it could be that person still has the heter to marry shifra kananis. There are discussions in the Gemara that go back and forth on that subject. You're mafkir the eved, and then he dies, the master dies, and now we have a question, a long discussion in the Gemara. Can the yorshim free that Eved? Do they have any kind of claim over the Eved in the slightest bit? In other words, if he's someone who is indebted to my father to work, okay, I inherit him, and now I should be able to free him. If the father was to mafkir him and loses the monetary rights over the Eved, it could be that the Yorshim don't have the right to give him a shtar shikr, because they're like strangers from out in the street. And again, that touches a lot upon the discussion that we were just having between Yachonim of how to understand the exact nature of what the Eved Ivri is all about. So just be aware that this is mamish, a tip of the iceberg. It happens to come up here, and it is an important discussion that comes out, how to understand the Shita of the Rambam, with the questions out of there, but it's a much bigger sugya than we actually gave time to. And again, but that is the end of that, Amir Tashem, on whatever that is, Wednesday, we are moving on with the next thing. Okay.